Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Jacob's Daily World Cup Podcast from TalkSport. TalkSport.
Hello and welcome to our World Cup podcast. Back home with me, Paul Hawksby.
And me, Andy Jacobs. And on a dramatic day's football, we'll be discussing Australia's advancing against the disappointed Danes, a humbling for France B at the hands of Tunisia, and of course, those two tense games that saw Argentina and Poland advance.
Plus, we'll get broadcaster and commentator Tom Rennie's take on the tournament. Travel expert Simon Calder will tell us why your last-minute trip to Qatar could be still very much on, and we'll forensically examine Leeds manager Jesse Marsh's cheese board.
Good.
Get more of that in a moment. It really is a joy. So, Andy, what a day's football we've had.
It was great, wasn't it? Tense, very tense.
Yeah, it was, especially this evening when you thought a game was going to be decided on fair play, which didn't feel right. So thankfully Saudi scored and put that one to bed.
Yeah, Poland didn't deserve to go through.
No.
But I do think there's a slight flaw in this format. If you think about that, Tunisia played France B, as you correctly called them. Mm. And if you think about it, you know, that was much easier for them than the other two teams that had to play France. You know, so
it's always been the way, though, isn't it? If you win your first two games, that's always been the way in group football. You win your first, you get your 6 points, you know you're through, and you give some other players a game. I'm sure England...
it was a big, massive advantage for Tunisia. So I was delighted when Australia scored. I didn't want them to go through for that reason. Basically.
No, but England would have done the same thing. You would have seen a different starting lineup, I think, had we beaten the USA. But
I think we've got more depth than them, actually. Yeah. And I've got news of FIFA boss Gianni Infantino.
Oh, yeah.
It came up on my Instagram because I follow Salt Bay and, the steak boy. Yeah. And he visited Salt Bay's restaurant in Doha.
Oh, yeah.
And he was all over him. He was hugging him. And then Infantino said, "Today I am an overpriced steak."
I'm sure he is. "Today I'm eating gold leaf."
I did say, no wonder you're hugging him. He's the only person that can afford your prices, mate.
Yeah, that's it. Now, you often say, Andy, as your knowledge of Argentina, you never quite understand where they find the money to keep travelling around the world. The peso is not that strong against any currency, whenever you talk to me. So how do they travel in those sorts of numbers? They took over that stadium tonight, didn't they?
I just don't know. I was looking at the Buenos Aires Times today, check sort of things like that. The inflation rate in Argentina today, and you know how people are moaning here because it's like 10%, 75% per hour.
Wow.
It's mad, isn't it? But there's a huge black economy. That's the thing, you know. So I don't think paying tax is big in Argentina. But I don't know.
They do find a way, don't they?
They
didn't stop singing at all. It was some atmosphere. Unlike the Australia game earlier on, which everybody was saying was just like death. There were 600 fans from each team and a lot of people just not interested.
Yeah, no, there was a good atmosphere tonight. I think there's a lot of pressure on Argentina, you know, that there is just this so much, interest in it. So they hang on, they're all very nervous. You can see the team seem a bit like England in a way.
Yeah.
You know, the pressure's on and they can see the headlines until they score and then they start playing really, really well, you know. But it was good to see Messi playing like Messi tonight. He's so much more aesthetically pleasing to watch than Ronaldo for me. There was one run that was reminiscent of Maradona against Belgium. It was that thing where he had about eight people chasing him. It was a shame he didn't anything came of it. But the penalty wasn't great, was it?
Oh, Bottler. What a disgrace.
Oh, the decision.
Danny McKayley is a really experienced referee. He's one of the best referees in Europe. And A, why is he going to the screen? And B, why is he agreeing with the VAR? You can only think Kalina has said, you know, maybe that guy the other day who didn't go with it got his knuckles wrapped and they've been told once they go to the screen, that's it. Because he's too experienced a ref to look at that because the contact by Szczesny has no material difference never on the header. The header's gone. It wouldn't have made any difference at all.
It wasn't a penalty. Oh. Stan Collymore's poll on Twitter. Was that the worst ever decision? I think it was.
I think it
is. I didn't need Dale Johnson to tell me that wasn't a penalty. God.
No, it was just a ludicrous decision. And justice was done, wasn't it? I mean, Szczesny from penalties at the moment. I mean, blimey. He made brilliant saves in the earlier game, and then another one today. So if it goes to pens, they're going to fancy their chances. They're going to bore their way right through.
They
that
could
match.
Do. You know, they really could. They're not very good, actually. They're not very good to watch either. They almost got what they deserved, you know, that sort of negative thing.
The bar was quiet. There wasn't a great deal of protection for Lewandowski. Oh, Romero gave him a right kick in tonight. Then they started to share it out because they thought he might get a card.
Yeah.
But he did get a bit of a working over.
Yeah, well, they know what they're doing. Messi's penalty record, it's interesting. Ben Littleton, the penalty guru, has said he's got a really poor record for a class player. So that's something like 78%. So it's, you know, he does miss them. Of course, he missed one against Chelsea in the Champions League, which was great.
Now, I told you yesterday, Andy, that Frankie de Jong was looking a bit peaky and Louis van Gaal had done all this stuff about his mum having rosy cheeks when she died.
Yeah.
And he said he'd had a sore throat and felt a bit under the weather.
Yeah.
Quite a lot of the Brazilian players are feeling the same. Neymar's been feeling a bit rough, not just the ankle, but feeling a bit sort of sore throat and a bit ill. Anthony's been the same. It's the aircon in the rooms, they think.
Yeah, aircon is very unhealthy, that's true.
They all think they're getting made sick by the aircon. So I don't know if it's going to make any difference to the team they put out. Louis van Gaal was at it again today, had a massive fallout with the press, basically. Totally like you in a press conference. They've all been saying the football's crap to him. And he said, well, if you think that, then it'd be so boring. Why don't a lot of you go home? We're really going to miss him when he's gone.
He's brilliant.
He said, if you're that bored, you're that disappointed, just go home. Don't bother watching us.
Cross-Stitch came on. You mentioned him the other day.
I like Cross-Stitch.
I've got a job for him, actually, presenting the Great British Sewing Bee.
he'd be very good, old Cross-Stitch.
He'd be really good at that. No question.
They've already started the tabloids, the random facts about Senegal. Talk about scattergun. The Sun said, here's some of the things you know about the England's opponents on Sunday. The population is 18 million, fair enough. The national dish is rice, tomato and fish in a sharing platter, which sounds rather nice.
What might that be called?
Would you like to tell us, Andy?
It's Tia Bubu Diuni.
I
look
nice.
Forward to Harry Maine choosing roast beef in Yorkshire over there.
Yeah, I think he probably will. Sunday. The Sun's mascot. Traditional clothing is called boo-boo, a colourful, loose-fitting, full-body garment made of waxy fabric or cotton. Oh, remember a waxy fabric? What a player he was.
He was.
And then we got some football facts. We find out that this is a completely useless fact, isn't it? The 52-metre African Renaissance Monument in Senegal is the tallest statue in Africa. How many people are going to be picking up the Sun? How many builders are going to have that at the front of their van? Tony, you ain't going to believe this. What's the tallest statue in Africa? So, look, we expect more random Senegalese facts before the weekend.
Definitely. And I see that Yuri Geller has promised, of course he has, England will win the World Cup within 10 years. The psychic spoonbender, not my word, 75. He said fans mustn't panic if we don't go all the way. He's going to take over Greg Dyke's clock.
I think he might do. Yes, indeed. Canelo, I told you last night.
Yeah, he wants to take someone out, doesn't he?
Told you last night that Canelo Alvarez was kicking off with the Argentinian team and offering out Lionel Messi and Sergio Aguero and others. he's calmed down now. There was a bit of rage going on, and he's apologised.
Oh, has he really?
He's apologised tonight for all his madness. He said, over the last few days, I got carried away by the passion and love I feel for my country and made comments that were out of place. So I want to apologise to Messi and the people of Argentina. I wish them all success in the tournament.
Oh, thanks.
Continue supporting Mexico until the end. Well, I think the end has come.
Well, it has. Canelo. They were unlucky, though, weren't they? I just saw the Saudi goal at the end there.
Yeah, they were. They looked like they were
fortunate not to go out. I mean, Argentina should have scored more than two, really. Real Lions are backing England's World Cup glory bid.
Oh, yeah.
Apparently at Knowsley Safari Park, Merseyside.
I've been there.
I don't know if there's three of them. There surely must be, I suppose.
I used to know the bloke who looked after the seals. He was the seal handler at Knowsley Safari. Pete the Seal.
Really? Was that his name? Pete the Seal?
No, that's what we called him, obviously. No, obviously. His name was Pete, and he looked after the seals.
No, obviously. Pete the Seal.
There we are. So if you're ever up that way, that part of the world, go and check it out. It's a good day out. There we are. Free ad for them. We should wish Pelé well. Apparently the news from his daughter is that... it isn't life-threatening. He's had to go back in the hospital. He's got an infection. He's not well. So there's been a lot of news stories about the family apparently saying that it's not as bad as everybody's saying. So
Mum's all right. She's 100.
Mum is 100. You were telling us last night. That's quite amazing. And I don't know if you've seen this story, Andy.
Yeah.
A bloated man who went to hospital complaining of stomach pains was found to have eaten 187 coins. This was in Lingsuga in India, and I phoned the hospital.
It's always in India.
Well, I phoned the hospital, and they said, no change.
Hang on.
No, he's all right, apparently. He's okay.
That's good. I don't know if you saw the Wales wives and girlfriends warmed up for the game last night with a sort of hilarious booze up, it said in here. But one of them, Harry Wilson's sister, Annie, was filmed wearing a bikini as she attempted a cartwheel that ended up with her landing on a coffee table. Drink was taken, would be my guess.
Drink had probably been taken. So a busy show then. We're going to be chatting to Tom Rennie a little bit later on, broadcaster, friend of the show and commentator. He does a lot of work in the States. He'll have his thoughts on the American team and everything else that's gone on. And I'm sure he'll be very interested in Jesse Marsh's cheese board. So we'll take a forensic look at that a little bit later on.
Hawksby and Jacobs' Daily World Cup Podcast from TalkSport. TalkSport.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Jacob's Daily World Cup Podcast from TalkSport.
TalkSport.
Now, our first guest on the show today is a man we often turn to on travel matters. I saw a piece he'd written for The Independent on the prospect of people deciding at this second stage of the competition to go out and, well, let's say they're following England based on the fact that here we are, but they could be following anybody, of course. But can you get accommodation? Can you get a flight? And is it cheaper than it would have been at the start of the tournament. So let's find out now from the Independence travel expert, Simon Calder. Hi, Simon.
Yes, look, I have been following this for literally 10 years. As you'll appreciate, sport and travel really kind of overlap every 2 years, either for the Olympics or for the World Cup. And actually, I've been tracking back, and I think it goes back to the US World Cup in 1994, when, of course, you weren't born, but I was. And exactly the same pattern has emerged every single time. Effectively, fans are told, okay, it's going to cost you an arm and a leg. It's going to be really expensive to get a flight. You won't fly to a hotel for love nor money unless you've got a platinum credit card. And it's, you know, frankly, unless you're absolutely stinking rich, you won't be able to get there. Now, my what I found every single time, with the exception of Beijing, actually, for the for the Olympics, which was a little bit different, obviously, because of the regime there, absolutely anywhere you can get into, you can get flights, you can get hotels. And I'm now just watching prices tumble compared with where they were even a couple of weeks ago, before the tournament. It's a great time to go over there.
And they've relaxed the rules around ticketing, Simon. I read as well from your piece that before you couldn't get out there unless you already had tickets, but now you can get out there and you can buy tickets while you're there.
Right. Here's what happened. So 10 days ago, I turned up. This was just on the eve of the first match. I turned up and I deliberately bought a connecting transfer flight with a good kind of 10-hour window. And the whole idea was, I was going to go in, and first of all, well, my first bid was, okay, guys, look, here's my connecting boarding pass. Just let me in. I just want to go and soak up the atmosphere. I'll spend some money. I'll have a lovely time and I'll come back and tell everybody how wonderful Doha is. They wouldn't let me in then. They were very nice about it. So I said, well, that's fine. I'm just going to go and sit over here and I'm going to do two things. And at the time, tickets for Japan, Costa Rica were open. I'd already checked that. So I thought, okay, I'm going to buy a ticket for a match I won't be able to go to, but that will allow me to get this so-called HIYA card. HIYA as in H-A-Y-Y-A, which means let's go in Arabic. And you need that to get in. And nobody is going to get in really before the end of the year without that card. And I knew you had to have a match ticket. Anyway, somebody came over very kindly and just said, look, pal, you're wasting your time. It's going to take 6 days to get approved. At which point I made my excuses and went duty-free shopping. And by the way, while there might alcohol might be difficult to find outside the airport in Qatar, you can't move for the stuff in inside. And they've got a special on a well-known brand of vodka, 3 for the price of 2. There we are.
Marvellous.
anyway, that'll bust your duty-free limit as well, as far as I know. So you need to have the HIYA card. Until now, you had to get an actual ticket in order to get that. But they have now released them as from people arriving from Friday onwards. You just fill in a form. Now, having said that, it's incredibly annoying, this form. I've sent my photo in about 10 times because I might well still go out there. I mean, I actually, call me sad, and I'm sure you will, I actually quite like the sound of the third place final. Because, you know, okay, it's not the big event. But, yeah, thank you. But on the other hand, you're going to have a couple of class teams there, and it's going to be a great event. So I might go out there. So assuming you've got the HIYA card and you can fill in and apply for that now, and you don't need to do anything other than kind of give your inside leg measurements and all that stuff and a terrible photo, and you can do that. So you've now got to find flights and accommodation. Well, I'm just literally looking now, flying out, actually a week on Friday and coming back a week later. So after the third place final, I believe, or maybe just after the semi-finals, flying from Manchester, 750 quid return. Now, that's not going non-stop on lovely Qatar Airways. It's going via Istanbul, but that's actually no bad thing. Really good quality airline. Nice to stop over in Istanbul, and that's looking good. And that's the sort of price available from other UK airports. Mm. And for the first time, actually, this week, I have seen, for the first time, literally in 10 years, Qatar Airways is charging less than £1,000 for non-stop flights. You can go out from Gatwick, back from Doha, and that's going to be about £950. And I genuinely, you will be sitting next to people, particularly coming back, who have paid three times what you paid for the same seats.
Yeah.
And in terms of accommodation, it couldn't be easier. This is the maddest thing I've ever heard of. So Tuesday night, Wednesday night were absolute peak demand. No people in the history of Qatar, they've never seen anything like that many people wanting to stay and that many hotel rooms filled. Okay, and that's why you've got all these horrible tents in the desert and containers and cruise ships and everything there. As from, of course, now you've got teams very sadly going home, and they're taking their supporters and they're taking the media and they're taking all the hangers on and they're emptying rooms. And yeah, there will be some people coming in like me and other supporters of teams who've got through to the round of 16 and progress, we hope, further than that. But actually, the prices are coming down to, you know, they did peak at about sort of £350-£400 for a double room. They're now down to £150, and they're coming down all the time. And by about the time of the semi-finals, £125 will probably buy you a perfectly decent double room. So it's sort of, you know, it's not bargain basement, but it's, for a lot of people who are keen to see it, pretty affordable. And again, person in the next room would have paid three, four, five times as much.
You can feel smug, can't you, if you go. Andy, you just wanted to jump in, didn't you?
No, I'd just like to have Nigel's air mask.
Who's Nigel?
Who's Nigel? I don't know who's Nigel.
The trouble is I always travel on the cheapest possible flights, and you very rarely get any points for anything there.
Oh,
so,
damn, what a shame.
Yeah. But that's all right. Anyway, I would urge people just to think, yeah, it would be great to soak up the atmosphere. Of course, the tricky thing is going to be getting tickets. Mm. And yes, of course, you can go onto the secondary sites. Really, really tricky in terms of legality there. But I'm just open just to going there and seeing what happens. And of course, it's going to be a great atmosphere, despite the restrictions on alcohol. And, I was in Russia in 2018. Absolutely fantastic atmosphere. Really, the global game, bringing people together. I had such a fantastic time. And I want to see if that's anything like replicated in Doha and the rest of Qatar.
Fantastic. Brilliant. Simon, thank you. I think quite a few people will be starting to look into it now. They probably thought they had absolutely no chance, but after hearing this, they may start to do their research. But for now, lovely to talk to you. And thanks for telling us all that.
Well, thank you for your fantastic podcast.
Well, there we are. Simon Calder, or Nigel Calder, as he's known to his friends.
That was a bit of an error, wasn't it? Anyway.
You've always done that, Andy.
I know.
You often say to me in the office, it's a travel story, say, let's get Nigel on. And I say, who's Nigel? And I say, you mean Simon Calder? Oh, yeah, that's right, Simon. He must look like a Nigel to you.
I don't know why I think he's called Nigel. Apparently, Stevie Winwood turned up at Doha Airport and said, give me a hire card. Sorry.
Did he really?
That's, no, he didn't at all.
That's,
at
it
all.
Seems unlikely.
Hawksby and Jacobs Daily World Cup Podcast from TalkSport. TalkSport.
So now we turn to a regular voice on the show, a man who knows football in the States pretty well. He broadcasts in the States on a regular basis. It's a very popular podcast out there. He's a commentator as well. And it's Tom Rennie. Hiya, Tom.
Hi, guys. The network I work on is SiriusXM FC, and the podcast is called Week in the Tackle, available now.
Yeah, see, there we are. I thought I'd let you do that.
There you go.
Maybe we should start with the USA. I mean, how are they feeling about this whole thing about, if you know, we've got to knock them out because they call it soccer?
I saw
Carlos Queiroz saying this was the moment when soccer became football in the USA. I mean, I don't know if he meant that or not, but what have you made of it from their point of view?
Well, it's been fascinating, actually. I've got a lot to say in terms of how good they've been as a team and their development over the last 3 years, which I've watched quite keenly. But I've got to say, I really hate the it's called soccer thing. I hate it so much because what I find talking to Americans a lot about football, is that they have a real inferiority complex about themselves, which is not necessary. And I think a lot of it comes from the fact it's the third or fourth biggest sport in the country. I think that, you know, I know people that have worked at MLS since 96, the very beginning, and they've had to really fight for a foothold in the market, in their cities, in their states. And they've got it now. There's like 36 teams across the two conferences. And they're in an almost transitional moment where everyone's taking them seriously, but they're still carrying the baggage of the past around with them. And that kind of leads into this it's called soccer thing. Against England, I thought it was quite fun, quite, you know, good banter, if you like. But against Iran, do Iran call it football or soccer? I have no idea. Why are they doing that against Iran? I mean, there's other issues there, isn't there? You should probably talk about them instead. So that's a little bit weird, I think. But they're enjoying it massively and quite rightly so.
It's changed. We made this comment last week, watching them against England and watching them in their first game as well against Wales. They've changed. The way they play football has changed. The technicality, the whole, everything about them. You know, it used to be just physical, hard running, not pretty to watch, not great. And they'd get results by just that physical. But now they're a really decent team and they can only go on and get better, I think.
Well, the incredible thing about US soccer in the last 8-10 years is that they had that nadir against Trinidad and Tobago where they didn't qualify for the World Cup, right? Mm. And in that point, you know, Christian Pulisic played that day and was like 17 and everyone was like, what are we doing here? Like, why are we getting so much wrong? And though MLS as a league has improved a lot since then, they kind of come to the realization that we've got to get these players in Europe. We've got to get them playing in Europe, which is kind of the issue, you know, with Mexico tonight, that they're playing with, I think, one or two players in their starting 11 don't play in Liga MX. Apart from that, they're all there. No one's in Europe. And Raul Jimenez is one of them. And he's obviously not the player he once was. So they've got the other issue now, whereas the US were like, right, what do we do? We've got all this young talent. We've got this huge breeding ground of talent. And they're playing for, you know, Columbus Crew and all the teams out there. Good teams, but, you know, there's no money and there's no development possibility. And then suddenly you have someone like Christian Pulisic going to Borussia Dortmund at 16, 17. It's like, wow, that's the pathway. And then you look at the team, look at the players that are in there, from Cameron Carter-Vickers at Celtic even, from DeAndre Yedlin's been around for a long, long time, Tyler Adams now at Leeds, Weston McKennie at Juventus, you know, almost everyone through the team, all the good players, even the second string like Josh Sargent. You know, he couldn't trap a bag of cement, God bless him, but he works hard. But at the very least, he plays in Europe. He's played in the Premier League. He's getting that experience. Yeah, yeah. And this has been a massive long-term development plan for years and years and years. And I think they're building towards that next World Cup, which they're hosting. They've been building towards that for a long, long time. But suddenly you've got people like Weston McKennie who can run a midfield for Juventus. You've got people like Tyler Adams, who has been terrific for Leeds all season long. And I think it's paying off. Long-term strategy is paying off for a lot of people in the US right now. And this has not just been thrown together, right? It's been a long time coming, these performances. It's built around Christian Pulisic and the quality that he has, that he doesn't show for Chelsea a great deal. It very much annoys them when you call him Christian Bale, which I've been doing for a while. I'm very much enjoying that. But, you know, he does that same sort of thing. Put on the US jersey and he's incredible. So they've been building to it. They look really, really good. And the Netherlands on what, Saturday? I wouldn't say it's a banker for the Dutch.
No, I don't think they're that good. I mean, certainly the Dutch press don't think so. I think they're boring. Gakpo scored a few goals, but I'm kind of with Ali McCoys. I'm not completely sure about him either. He could be another Vincent Janssen. You can see him coming to the Premier League dying on his backside.
Surely better than that, isn't he?
Huge him scoring an hat trick against
what an insult that was. I thought it was a nice podcast. Yeah. I thought we were friendly around here.
Now, talking of Leeds players, Jesse Marsh, I think he watched the game last night with a friend of his, a fellow coach. And they had some snacks. Yes. They had some snacks while they watched. And he sent out a picture of him and his son and his friend Pierre Barrio and his son, I think, watching the game. But my focus really was on the snacks and the choice of cheeses. Now, I went quite close. They had a bottle of white wine on the go, a selection of biscuits. They bought a big box of biscuits. They'd clearly gone to Asda because they had the Elf Asda napkins that they'd bought for Christmas. Got those out early.
Deep what cut knowledge like, there, Paul. Deep what, cut, that is.
Well, I've done some research. It's quite forensic, this.
You just knew. Don't lie to us.
I've seen the adverts. They had some popcorn, because obviously they're American, and they had three cheeses. They'd eaten half a Camembert. It could be Manchego. I don't know what it is. It's some sort of, it could be a Dutch cheese. I mean, I'd like to think there's a German or an Austrian cheese.
Monterey Jack, surely. Got to be Monterey Jack, isn't it?
Well, I'm looking at it. I can't really put my finger on what the cheeses are. I think one of them's French and smelly. But, yeah, I mean, I was more interested in the cheese. And he's sitting in a very odd way, Jesse. He's got a very straight back. I don't know if he's got back issues at the moment.
Yes.
It's quite an odd picture.
You're saying, yes, he has got back issues.
Yes, he's got issues
at the back. I mean, certainly. Whether he's got back issues, I don't know. But anyway, that's Jesse Marsh.
Do you know what's funny about that, though, is that Americans are obsessed with snacks, like utterly obsessed with snacks. So, like, when a big game comes around, and I'm doing something on Sirius, and everyone's like, well, what are the snacks are you getting in? What food are you getting in? And they always ask me, what snack do you have during the game? And the answer is nothing. What are you talking about, the snacks? I might get some drinks in, or I'll sit quietly stressing in the seat on my own. Like, yeah. The snacks are very low down on my agenda. But they're like, what snacks are we having? What are we eating? Before they find out what the fixture is. It's an utterly bizarre culture.
Yeah, you can't tell from the way they look.
Putting the boot in now.
Hey, I'm glad you said that now before we put on the holiday weight. I'm glad you said that.
Now, Graham Arnold, the Australian coach, he's fantastic. He's straight out of Central Casting. He's like an old school Aussie. He's the sort of bloke that would have turned up in Neighbours, Andy, and says, I'm going to buy Lassiter's and knock it down.
Yeah.
A really gruff voice. He's just this classic Australian coach. He just speaks like, he's like something from a Jack Thompson film. It's a brilliant film called The Club about Aussie rules. And all the blokes in it from The Club are like that. And he's great, old he's Graham Arnold. Like that, I love really.
It. It was a strange game there today, really. I mean, Denmark. Yeah. Some people fancied Denmark to go all the way after what they did in Europe, but they were poor, weren't they? In Australia, in the end, I was pleased for them. They won't go any further, though, I don't think, because they're not very good.
No, they're not a particularly good team, but I was, my friend James is in Australia at the minute, and he's in Melbourne. And when this result came in, I was doing the show this afternoon, and I texted him, and I was like, can you come on? Just come on for a couple of minutes. We'll get you on. We'll get the vibe of, I forget the name of the kind of main square they're all in. And he was like,
Fed Square, isn't
yes,
it?
All, yes, yeah, something yes. like that.
I mean, it was 3 o'clock in the morning, wasn't it?
3 a.m. It was ram jam packed. I saw a bunch of pics on the TV and I was like, I know someone who's going to be there. He's going to be there. I'll text him. I've not seen him in about 15 years. I was like, hi, remember me? I used to have hair and, you know, you might recall me from the bus. And I was like, oh, do you want to come on the show? And he was like, there's no way I could come on the radio right now and talk about it. And there's not a single person here who could. That was an excellent answer.
But, so it was more drinks than snacks for them.
Yes, yes, exactly right. A proper sporting culture in Australia, as it should be. But I mean, my only message sort of from that game or learning from the game is that one thing, if anyone's been to Australia or lives in Australia, they are just the biggest sports loving culture in the world. Like, it's incredible. When I was over there for a few months years ago and like, you're like, oh, what'd you do? What'd you do at school today? And they're like, well, we had PE, then maths, then PE, then English, then PE, then PE, then PE. Then we went for a run, rugger after school, Aussie rules later, cricket afterwards, bit of supper, back out for a run. Right? That's what they are. And so if you're a team like Denmark, massively poor, I think, overachieved during the European Championship because of the incredible emotional kind of flow they were on after what happened to poor Christian Eriksen and all that, they're not a particularly good team. The offense isn't great. The midfield, bar Eriksen, is kind of staid and slow, and they just didn't look into it. There wasn't a great deal of belief in them. And one thing Australian sports people have in abundance is belief. You know, they got through that game on pure belief. And the only frustrating thing for me is that they're not called the Australian Flaming Galahs. Why not?
I went with that game this afternoon, but I didn't realise it was on BBC Two. Yeah. So I watched it on the red button with radio commentary, which I hadn't realised until Vicky Sparks was saying, and Schmeichel's just kicked that one right out of play. I'm getting really annoyed. I'm going, yeah, I can see that. Why are you telling me that for?
Because she's on the radio, Andy. She's doing her job. Yeah, I told Andy at the end, I'm watching Jonathan Pearson, Dion Dublin. What are you on BBC? BBC Two. They're listening to the radio commentary. Ridiculous. The ball was in square three.
They're all singing. Why are they all singing? Yeah, that's Virgin Radio, mate. It's the wrong thing.
He was listening. He was getting updates on Saga FM. So.
They're all doing Land Down Under. That's a bit presumptive, isn't it?
So, Tom, just remind us of your podcast once again.
So the podcast is called Week in the Tacker. We're doing a bunch of World Cup episodes at the moment. It's me and Brian Dunseth, who went to the Olympics with the US and is a TV presenter out there. He's going to be part of their Apple coverage of MLS for the next 10 years. It's out every Monday, usually. And we get to swear in the podcast, which very much enjoy. It does get beeped out for broadcast, but I get to swear freely and loosely, which I enjoy immensely. So there you go. Week in the Tackle.
Marvellous.
Good to see you, Tom. Thanks for joining us. Appreciate it.
Pleasure.
Hawksby and Jacobs Daily World Cup Podcast from TalkSport. TalkSport.
Here we are. Our thanks to Tom Rennie there. And we'll hopefully catch up with him later in the tournament. Andy, I thought we might as well have a look at Thursday's games.
Yes, good.
Will I take you through them?
Please do.
Are we going to kick off? We got the 2-3 o'clocks. I did have the old one of the games. I had the France-Tunisia game on the old iPad today. I did go double screen.
I know. You're addicted to the four games a day, Tom.
I am, yeah. Well, Canada-Morocco is going to kick us off. Well, Canada are gone, of course, but Morocco's still in the mix. Belgium, big game for Belgium against Croatia.
Yeah, I'll be with that one, I think.
Yeah. And then we've got Costa Rica-Germany. And there's still quite a lot riding on that one. And Japan versus Spain. So I think we're going to concentrate, aren't we? I would think in Germany, Costa Rica.
Yeah.
And
it'd be interesting
Belgium
if Japan get a result, though. That could, you know.
Yeah. No, absolutely. So some interesting games, which we'll be pouring over again tomorrow. Is any other business, Andy, before we go?
I've noticed that Tunisia had a goal disallowed by Gantry. I don't know where he normally watches the game from.
where their commentators,
I was dying for Matthew Lecky after the match to say, this is a bit obscure, this. I'm Matthew Lecky, and don't you forget it.
There we are.
Beautiful fan of Scottish journalism.
And I think we'll leave it there, shall we? Thank you very much for listening, as always. We'll be back with you tomorrow on Thursday to pore over those games, look at all the other big stories and obviously slightly less big stories, as you've probably gathered by now. So until then, thanks for listening.
TalkSport. Hawksby and Jacobs Daily World Cup Podcast from TalkSport.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.